Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
Welcome to Reins and Edge on the Free Talk Live Network. This week, Reins and Edge survive Igalia, or Idalia, depending on your TV show. Sunshine, rainbows, and lollipops for Bitcoin investors. COVID joke demonstrates the right to free speech as well as stupidity. Tucker Carlson predicts the assassination of former President Trump. By the way, that's not a joke, and it is stupidity. Meta allows you to stop them selling your data to third-party AI companies. Countries in glass houses should watch out for bricks. And let me tell you what's wrong with boomers. And I know, because I'm Henry Reins.
And I'm Mark Edge, not a boomer.
No, not whatsoever. You're, what, a millennial?
No, I'm a Gen X. In these conversations, they don't talk about us. The only thing that boomers and millennials can agree upon is that Gen X ought to pay for whatever the government program they're interested in.
No, you guys are already dying off, too. You skated on that one, boy. I think I know where you are, but I don't know. Are you where you usually are the last few weeks?
I'm in Honduras, yep. You're still in Honduras.
So you had, well, first of all, let's clear something important up here. Now, everybody on local news is calling this hurricane, and on network level too in the U.S., Idalia.
Okay.
And to me, it looks like a Hispanic name, and I would pronounce it Idalia. What would you do, Mark?
You wouldn't say an I at all. It would be Idalia. Idalia.
So I got the vowel sounds put in the wrong accent on the wrong syllable.
Yeah, would be if you're saying it's a Spanish name, then you know that. But it could very well be an English name. Idalia.
Fill it down over to see Idalia, and we're going to the barn dance.
Well. It isn't a New York City name by my standards. No, I would say it's a rural Indiana name would be what I would say. My family's from rural Indiana, so that's how I would know this kind of thing.
And you know, that's just the only difference between that part of Indiana and the Deep South, or the rednecks are colder.
That's right. It's cold rednecks.
So we'll find that out. That just came to me, as well as some other stuff on the fly here at the beginning of the show.
Well, I think people do want to know how did you fare in the hurricane? I use hurricane in air quotes here.
Yes. Well, actually, there was quite a bit of damage. Nothing that has to do with me, thank goodness. Or I don't know. I probably should say so. Bless their hearts over there. They've got all the damage. I worry about them all the time, and I pray for them. My thoughts and prayers are with them constantly. Now that I've said that, it wasn't me. It looked like we were going to be on the northeast corner of that swirly thing that goes up through the Gulf of Mexico, which, because we're on the west coast of Florida, it would blow all the water into the coastline. And I'm about 10 miles from the coast, I think, right now, where I am. I used to be closer. But I did go to the west side, and not all the way out to the beach. It's just, normally we only try and teach geography to the people we send to war. But I will try and give a little geography here. If people know where Tampa Bay is, where the Tampa Bay Lightning and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the Tampa Bay Rays play. They know it's like got that little circular bit of water on the left side of Florida and the little finger sticking down, which is Pinellas County, and we're on the south side. So if you had all the water flowing up and backing up in Tampa Bay, that would be a problem. But all along the coastline of Florida, you have different things. Like here in this county, not only being next to Tampa Bay, we have a fairly substantial river, not by like Ohio River or Mississippi River standards, but by, you know, limestone Florida standards, it's a pretty big river that actually has
The Manatee River is a pretty wide river at its mouth.
Yes, and
there's a lot of water flowing out there.
And it actually was not super strategic in the Civil War, the war between the states, but it was strategic enough that there was quite a bit of action in this part of the state during the Civil War. We had a big sugar plantation that shipped sugar up into the Northeast and things like that. You know, when you have a war, anybody that's making money becomes something strategic. So, and so we had that kind of level of strategery here. But so Ian was the big hurricane last year that devastated Fort Myers and Port Charlotte. And if you were to drive across the center of the state, you still see trees blown down and cows with PTSD. and you know, they're just standing out there looking at the cow, at the tree they used to get shade under, and it's sideways on the ground. And the farmer's consoling it, say, "Don't worry, we've got a truck that's going to take you for a ride away from all this."
Right. The PTSD won't last long.
Yes. But that was the big windstorm. Lots of rain, lots of flooding. This was the kind of flooding where all the water gets shoved, because we had a high full moon, which I guess sometimes...
Yeah, it was a blue moon and a king tide.
A king tide.
Yep.
I haven't heard that phrase, even with all the TV I was watching.
Yeah, it was. One would presume that a king tide is quite the
big
thing.
Tide. There.
Yeah, what is a king tide? National Ocean Service. It's a popular, non-scientific term people often use to describe exceptionally high tides.
Well, anyway, in that way of bad luck leveling things out, if you wait long enough, with Ian, the center of the state flooded and all the rivers and creeks backed up on the flatlands there, and the poor cows were up to their ankles in water or their knees in water. This, and we didn't get much on the coastline. This time on the coastline, there was lots of flooding, and again, getting hyperlocal for Mark because he grew up around here on the island. And Florida has a lot of barrier islands. Those houses out there on Anna Maria Island and other islands out there, they had water up into their homes. And then, of course, they had the people with the big four-wheelers.
That's what we have the barrier islands for, so we can sell the real estate at really high prices to Yankees and then have them kind of soak up the hurricanes.
Yes, because you can't afford to live out there anymore unless you had your home already. But the four-wheel drives from the good old boys go out there, and it's high enough that only the four-wheel drives can get through, and that way they can create two-foot weights for the houses that manage to survive the flooding, and then they can have it rolling up into their doorways, and they can go, "Curse you, four-wheel driver."
Well, Florida does come complete with rednecks.
Yes. We have a very diverse group of obnoxious people in this state.
We do. That we do.
But in Honduras, now, that's Central America, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. So I have noticed in my 6 decades plus now of observing... by the way, that does make me one of those boomers, but not the bad ones. I barely have a third of the traits that I've read about here, because there's 15 traits. But I do know that in my observations of hurricanes and tropical storms and where they start and where they go, usually they start south of me and sort of to the east of me, and they usually come up, if they don't come up the Atlantic coast, they clip underneath Cuba and then turn up and roll up into the Gulf of Mexico, or they squeeze between the Keys and Cuba and go up. But this year, hurricanes start on the west side of the Gulf of Mexico, and they're like, they're already in Cancun when they start spinning. What's that, Mark?
I couldn't say. I thought all hurricanes just started in Africa, and like they're thrown at the Americas like a dart at a dartboard.
Well, the low pressure systems start out there, but not the ones I'm seeing this year. They just start spinning right off the coast of South America and roll up into you Central American inhabitants. You haven't noticed that?
I'm afraid that I don't live in Florida, so I'm not paying attention. And frankly, when I did live in Florida, I didn't pay attention to hurricanes. I'm kind of a hurricane denier, Henry.
But there was stuff right off your coast. I mean, I know some of the months you were here, but in the summer, I mean, the early summer, they were right there next door to you.
Okay, so let me put it together. I don't know whether or not the next hurricane to kind of scare the people in my general vicinity is next year or the year after or the year after that. But it will happen in the next 3 years. And then when it's all over, what will have occurred is some Caribbean island will have gotten smashed. They will be pleased for help. And Bradenton will have been missed. That's just always what happens.
No, that's the way to think about it, but not quite true. But that's all right. But that's the problem with you, Jim.
We had more. My mother had more damage at her house than apparently you suffered.
Oh, well, she's right on the water.
That's right.
She's right on the water.
That's why.
I think she has that swimming pool to catch it.
And I'm afraid it didn't make it to the swimming pool. What's that?
That didn't work that way.
It didn't go up into the swimming pool, thank goodness.
Oh,
the swimming
pool didn't have come that far.
No, it just kind of gave the dock hell. But I mean, when you build structures in bodies of water, expect problems. You know, like it's temporary by its definition.
There we go. All right. Well, we continue. We're here. You're there. I'm here. We're broadcasting. What?
Yeah, I want to talk about boomers and how much they suck. I think that's great.
Well, we will, but wow, the suspense. You know, I tried to throw something in there to bring your little generation in about the Gen Xers and your attitude to this whole hurricane thing. That's not the way the boomers are. They boomer.
I'm only a product of my environment, Henry. I was raised, you know, in part by a boss. I worked for the same guy. You might know him from the age of 12 to the age of 18. And he made me go to work during hurricanes. One I remember specifically, Hurricane Elena.
You see, that's exactly what I'm talking about. I taught you to be aware of hurricanes, and you've forgotten everything I taught you.
Right. You taught me to be aware of them because I had to travel across town to go to work at the comic book store for you.
I thought you lived just a few blocks away.
Anyway, I feel like you made a stronger man.
Well, that's good. I don't even have a recollection of that.
Many don't, I imagine.
Was it a Sunday?
It wasn't much of a hurricane.
What day of the week? What was it? New Comic Book Day? That would be important.
No, it was a Sunday. There was no reason for me to be there. In retrospect, I can't figure out why the heck I was there. But other than it's a good idea if you're paying the rent, stay open.
That's right. Or even if you're not paying the rent, you got to stay open to buy the food for when the landlord shuts you down and you don't have money for food. But. Couple other things to take care of here. A little bit of chit chat. This is the happy talk part, Mark.
Yes.
We're all kinds of happy talk. We're barely into this segment. I do, you know, I crave attention. I don't really crave attention, but I'm happy when we get attention. And I'd like to thank, I won't say the full last name, but Matthew F. You know who you are. If you're listening to this, you sent Mark a message about this show or this new incarnation of a show on a Free Talk Live network. And I appreciated the comments that you made. And
it sounds like you really like it when people sort of interact with the show. How do you want them to interact? If you had your preference,
I'd like them to call in.
Well, that's not going to happen.
Just call somebody. Call somebody when the show is on because we can't take calls. And you tell them turn on their radio, or if you're listening on demand at a podcast site, call somebody up and tell them to listen with you. Share the experience. That's the problem with the younger generation, Mark. With these,
why not just find us on Twitter? The problem with the older generation is they can't give a clear direction.
Well, because we keep getting interrupted by these Gen Xers. You act like you started this whole thing. So let me back up again. Just tell people to listen with you. Make that human connection again. All right. But yes, I'm happy because all my other experiences on the radio, we had at least the ability to have call-ins, and I would get some kind of feedback. So we actually, I know this sounds so spontaneous and magical to the people listening, but I've got to be truthful. It's pre-recorded.
You're pre-recorded, yes.
You're in another continent, and it's hard to get a good live broadcast coming, although I aspire to do. In the Happy Talk segment, that was in my agenda to talk to you about with the audience, and maybe they would give us feedback. But first, I want to encourage. Also, want to thank at Tony Bly 4 on X Twitter, and he helped randomize expose us to people by retweeting some of our. Or are we? You don't tweet anymore. Are you re-Xing?
Yeah, it's funny. What do you call it? I don't know.
Whatever you did, Tony, I appreciate it. And maybe somebody else listened to the show. We are seeing more activity on the podcast, which brings me to my next agenda item. I was going to say a conversation item, but the truth is it's a little bit of an agenda. Any place you're looking for our podcast, you can probably find it as long as you're looking at a podcast site. Whether it's on Apple or Amazon or Audible or on Spotify. And we're on Substack now too. We're also iHeartMedia. You know, we're on most any place that you look. Except I'm still having a little bit of trouble with Google Podcasts. But I've been busily working on this. So you got Free Talk Live all over the big 3-hour block. Every day, you can listen to 21 hours of Free Talk Live.
Yeah.
And that's a lot. And if you're
plenty of content.
If your attention span is shorter, you can search out Reins and Edge on your podcast site of choice, and it's broken down into 6 easy to digest segments that you don't even have to pay attention for a half hour because they're all under 30 minutes. But we just added Substack, which is an interesting thing. And see, Mark and I haven't discussed this because Mark and I seldom discuss anything. And
right here on the show,
we talked much more when you were a young teen. But the Substack, see, it seems like there should be a way to share all this show prep that I'm doing. Not all of it. But we talk about these things, and it's just by them. You know, they're in their car, they got their Starbucks in one hand, they're eating their Big Mac in another, and they're driving with their knees. How are you going to find these stories that we talk about? Well, wouldn't it be great if you followed me on X Twitter? I could post them there. That's one option.
Yep.
Substack now will actually transcribe our whole podcast. Did you know that? There's no charge for that.
I had no idea that they were doing that. No.
We could not only, I know, maybe you could do it for, if you put the whole free 21 hours of Free Talk Live up there, not only could they listen for 21 hours, they could spend another 60 hours reading the transcript.
Well, the transcript's good because it works with the Google algorithm.
All right. Anyway, so that also allows you to break it down. We could put little previews up on Instagram or X Twitter. I mean, where do people want to find this stuff if I put it out there? Do they prefer Instagram or Facebook or X Twitter? I guess
I feel like Instagram's for pictures, and I don't know. I feel like Facebook's run its course personally, so Twitter seems to be the new big thing.
Except Elon Musk is running it into the ground.
How so? Because somebody disagrees with how he's doing it?
Well, because the advertising revenue has dropped like a rock and the usage has dropped like a rock. But I still am on there. I'm still hanging in there with you, Elon. But
maybe he's getting rid of the bots, and so the usage looks like it's dropping.
I was thinking about, we could be like taking a line from the assassination conspiracy guy, Tucker Carlson, and we could do little mini Reins and Edges on Twitter. We could have a time where we could do
what do they call that? Yeah.
Twitter. We could do a space. Is that what it is? X-Space?
X-Space.
SpaceX? Yeah, Elon Musk has SpaceX. I guess he has X-Space for us.
Yeah, it would be. What else would you call it? It's Alt X and it's a space.
We could do an Instagram story too. What do you like, Mark?
I think at this point I'd like to be able to consistently put out the show, but I like the Twitter for and of course there's social.freetalklive.com too if you want to connect there too.
Yes, we should all. That should be a number one place you go for everything. For now, when you're narrowcasting to the Reins and Edge sensibility, the Reins and Edge milieu, the ecosystem of Reins and Edge. This is what we will have to ponder that. But anybody out there that has an idea of how they would like to receive us, just ask and you will receive. Seek and you'll find. There's a bunch of stuff like that. They say
sounds almost biblical.
Going through this happy talk segment, Mark. We've barely got a couple minutes here. We do need to talk about. Do you want to talk about the economic disaster that awaits us, according to some, and then blame it on the boomers afterwards? Or do you want to say everything that's wrong with boomers, and then we can say, well, look, what did you expect to happen? Then this is coming.
Or I think we should. Go ahead.
Or we could do a libertarian sort of a victory for free speech segment next time. Start with that. And, it's your show, Mark. Tell me what
now,
you want to do.
I think we should go with the Why Boomers Suck by some millennial retard.
Okay. Well, so that gives me about 60 seconds to figure out how to overcome these technical difficulties here on my flip phone. And
you got the one with the big button, so you don't have to put your glasses on to read it, right?
Oh, is that how you do it? I've been using my grandpa's magnifying glass.
Those things can come in handy at times.
Yes. I used to think that. Also, my dad used to always be, get a light. Come on, bring that light in here so I can see.
Yeah. Well, now that you have a smartphone, you can just turn the light on and light up whatever you need.
I do that. Right. I do that at the gym, at the crunch down the street, because those machines are so old, the weights have faded. And plus they're behind, sort of shaded in the weight stack there. We'll talk about important things like that. That's what boomers care about. Weight stack, not well-defined numbers, more things of import like that on Reins and Edge right after these messages.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs Generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs Generator and Lung Delivery System at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
USA News Update. This Labor Day weekend, we'll see 200 million people in the U.S. feeling some brutal heat. Forecasters say there will be a heat wave in parts of the North Central Plains and Upper Midwest that will last through the Labor Day weekend. Areas of North Dakota, South Dakota, Iowa, and Illinois could see their all-time hottest September records. President Biden is praising the latest jobs report while speaking for the White House. The president said his economic plan is working to create jobs and drive down inflation.
People are coming off the sidelines, getting back to their workplace. Job satisfaction is higher than it's been in 36 years.
Attorneys for the woman accused of murdering her husband before publishing a children's book about grief are appearing in court. That comes weeks after state prosecutors said they wouldn't pursue the death penalty for Corey Richens. They could potentially agree to a preliminary hearing date. Dave Collins, USA News.
What if Extendivite really works, but you find that hard to believe and you spend precious time looking for someone to say, just try it? I have my help today because of Extendivite, and if I did not take a leap of faith and try it, well, I would be on disability today. Take one bottle of Extendivite as suggested for 60 days to find out for yourself. No need to stop any other meds you may be on. You know by now that they are not working for you. Before the 60 days are up, I know that you will feel Extendivite working for you and will want to take another bottle. Life is too short. Get your Extendivite today. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for kids, teens, or young adults. It's just not.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals and volatile organic compounds into your body.
And nicotine, the same highly addictive substance found in regular cigarettes.
Nicotine can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
Affecting learning, memory, attention, and impulse control. And priming the brain for other addictions.
Vaping products also come in kid-friendly flavors that can make them appealing to youth.
And many kids also use other drugs, like marijuana, in vaping devices.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media,
many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping, because when you talk, they hear you.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
It's Reigns and Edge here on the Free Talk Live Network. I'm Henry Reigns.
I'm Mark Edge.
And we are here to tell you what's wrong with those boomers. And my little hairs on the back of my neck, they curl up when those boomers come by. It's like spidey sense. I don't know how I know those boomers are coming, but maybe the little shuffle.
I think it's just them walking around with all their opinions and all their money. It just makes me angry.
Yes, well, it's always made you Gen Xers angry. That's what you're known for. Because you missed out on all the good stuff. You missed out on love-ins and anti-war protests and the clean LSD. Yeah.
Well, so you say.
I think that's probably, because actually I am a late boomer. And not that I'm admitting to anything. Let's just say a friend of mine. He used to get that LSD with the little brown spots, which was the strychnine that they put in to make it go a little farther. Forget your fentanyl. Your heroin cut with fentanyl, although that is a lot more serious. I probably shouldn't make a joke about that.
Might as well.
You can joke about LSD. The government used to give it to us. Actually, that would be the beatnik generation, not the boomer generation. Because the beatniks, see, do anybody even know what beatniks are?
Beatniks to me are just early hippies.
Well, but the boomer generation, the really qualifying baby boomer generation were the babies born after World War II.
Right.
And all the horny soldiers came back home and got married right away and started having babies with their wives, or back then it usually was their wives, not just their baby mamas. But
that was
history there for you folks. What is the demographic of our audience, Mark? I mean, what percentage of our audience would be boomers?
It would depend on the ever-changing demographics of talk radio, for one, which I would say is largely boomers, and perhaps some silent generations to be thrown in also. But I would a podcast is going to be largely Gen X and millennial.
What about Gen Z?
I don't suspect they give a damn what we have to say.
But aren't there libertarian Gen Zers?
Yes, and they're probably not listening to Free Talk Live.
Well, how do they get their right thinking about libertarianism if they don't listen to you all? I know they don't listen to me, because,
there's other places to get it, I suppose.
I'm like the little piece of grainy dirt in the oyster, just helping you all make pearls. But you all have been libertarian pioneers, tilling the ground.
For a long time.
Causing the green shoots to pop up.
Yep, I think that there's a younger generation to pick up that younger generation would be my guess.
Oh, you think maybe that the younger generation, we'll tell you what's wrong with boomers soon, but I'm off on a tangent. Do you think the younger generation, maybe libertarianism doesn't appeal to them? Because when I see younger generation people like that are in their 20s, everybody's a younger generation, really, but the 20-somethings, even the teenagers in high school and stuff, they're either like these really right-wing people that follow the super conservative line, they're the Ron DeSantis, the Donald Trump fans, or they're on the opposite, rebellion against them. Instead of rebellion against the older generation, I seem to be rebelling against the whatever they consider their opposite viewpoint and their viewpoint.
Well, let's just say what I believe is that there's the conservative changes, right? Like my great grandmother Pauline beat my great uncles with a switch from the willow tree when she found dice in their room. Now, you're not going to find that kind of conservative running around much anymore. So a conservative is like a liberal 20 years ago. And what we have now coming is some kids that are rebelling against the sort of nonsense that has been thrown at them for a period of time. You're supposed to believe this nonsense, and if you don't believe this nonsense, you're a heretic. You know, and they're rebelling against that. That doesn't make them conservative, because they're not. They're just a new kind of reaction to the groupthink, I think.
Actually, I don't think what your comment about the conservatives are just liberals from 20 years ago, I would have bought that statement about 10 years ago.
Okay.
But now I see people putting out ideas that I thought had been gone for 40 years. They're reactionaries or something beyond some of the. I don't want to take us all down that. We'll have plenty of other episodes that we can talk about this. But I was just wondering where are the libertarian young people?
What are they
libertarian about?
I think that I think Gen Z is still trying to figure out what it believes and what it doesn't believe. It's putting the world together. And that many of them will come to the notion that libertarianism makes more sense than whatever the Republicans and Democrats are proffering.
I mean, I can see where young people that had to go to school and wear masks, and not to open up that as a good or bad argument, but just the natural reaction would be that I hate people telling me what to do, how
to
have to do this, and I have to go to certain places and keep a certain distance. I can see how that would give you a reaction against rules and things like that. But as far as free speech. Well, maybe. There's a lot of perceived censorship and real censorship, so maybe.
Yeah,
you convinced me, Mark.
I don't know. It seems like the millennials are more interested in clamping down on free speech and that the Gen Zers are more interested in more free speech. But, you know, I only have regular contact with a small handful of these groups, so I have to come up with my own conclusions from that.
All right.
Let's talk about some of the things that millennials think about boomers, though.
Well, this is Gen Z and millennials are ganging up on the boomers.
Well, it's always fun to go after grandma.
And this is from BuzzFeed, which, you know, is where all the boomers learned about the Internet, I think. It's been around 20 years or so. BuzzFeed's been.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they've grown up with, it's like Disney Plus. BuzzFeed is like the Disney Plus for boomers, I think. It says, younger generations are calling out the most toxic things about baby boomers, and phew, it's brutal. I'm serious, people. I mean,
no, it's not.
sounds like a boomer thing to say. Your Gen Xer is just...
I've been accused of being a boomer more than once, that's for sure.
Boomer, though. But
Aria.
I have to apologize but defend myself in that they have two commas in this sentence, so I had to have that moment for emphasis, and then they used all caps for W-H-E-W. Phew! So what else are you going to do? Phew! Okay.
What else?
Which is like 6 degrees of separation from Ric Flair. Woo! And that's a lot of sidelines in there. Anyway, another little preface here to the story before we get into the 15 dirty rotten things about boomers. Before they just ran out of megabytes to print with. Generations like to critique each other, and when it comes to baby boomers, people online have offered their fair share of brutal jokes and observations about them. So here are just 15 tweets about boomers that are so accurate it hurts. We'll see about that. Finally, I would like to say, what kind of author is still using the word tweets? Anyway,
not giving it up.
Let's see. Number one. Now, these are not in any particular order, as I've been able to determine this. It's like not like the most egregious thing is number one or number 15. Just, you know, arbitrariness. Some millennial thinking they know better, and they put them in the order they thought was right. The fact that they want kids, this is number one, the fact that they want kids to play outside, but hate when kids play outside. I expand on that. Boomer neighbors on next door. That's the, like the neighborhood Facebook type app.
Oh, yeah. Next door is widely hated for being too many old people.
Is like the Facebook for get off my grass.
It's great if you lose your dog.
Kids never go outside and play anymore, exclamation point. The parks and alleys are empty. Now, I know in big cities they have alleys. I have not.
Right, where are the alleys?
In the suburbs, yes.
I used to play baseball in the middle of the street, so, you know.
I did too, until we got where we could hit farther, and then we needed vacant lots. We actually had vacant lots back then.
Yeah.
We actually, there was back when I was young, we got our lawnmowers and we mowed down where the deserted farm was. And we didn't care about those sand spurs in the field. We just grabbed that baseball and hurled it.
That's right.
Anyway.
Shoot.
Let's see. How dare neighborhood children play a game of basketball outside on a summer evening at a nice normal volume? Go inside. That is not printed up. That's just some millennial.
Oh, no. This is real stuff.
No.
I'll give you a couple of news stories, but here's the basics. If you say, want to teach your kid a lesson for misbehaving in some manner or another, and it's appropriate to say, make them walk a mile home or something, it's a very good chance that somebody's going to call the police and say, there's a kid walking on the side of the road. Yeah. They could be abducted or some variety of things like that. And I've got another story. This one happened to me personally. Is we were on a long road trip, and I told my son Jack, he was probably, I don't know, 5 or 6 or something, and I told him to get up, get out of the car seat, go and run around and make some noise, because he'd been sitting the whole time and he needed, you know, get some energy out. And so he ran around in a little cul-de-sac going, ah! A woman comes out, breathless. I thought he was being abducted. I mean, of course, you hear a kid hollering in your little suburban neighborhood, and the first thing you would think is he's being abducted.
Well, the way you just imitated his sound, it sounded like he was in distress.
That's right. Every kid, making noise, distress. It's just because they don't hear it enough. When we were kids, you heard kids playing outside.
Not some strange kid that was just dumped out of the car, and this weird man waving his arms at him, saying, "Run around and scream." That sounds like an abduction to me.
Well, abductors don't let their kids run around.
Anyway,
that's what the duct tape is.
Not a real post when they say play a game of basketball outside at a nice normal volume. That was just an exaggeration. But they do say kids don't go outside and play anymore, blah blah blah. And this was by Meg Saint Esprit about a week ago on X Twitter. She wrote that.
I think it's a fair thing to say is that if you hear somebody talking about how kids don't go out to play enough, that person will probably be a boomer. And if you hear somebody complaining about the noise that your kids are making outside, it will probably be a boomer.
Well, you know, millennials are sort of old now.
Yeah, well, they're in their 40s. They're the ones with kids.
Well, they're all
kids aren't quiet.
Yeah, but when your home is quiet and your kids are away, you don't want anybody else to disturb it. We used to have people complain about us riding our motorcycles up and down the street, and they weren't, you know, in their 60s.
I can tell you that my grandmother's next door neighbor was constantly just looking at me, just watching me. And I don't know whether she was senile or hated young people or what. It just seemed like it felt like the evil eye was being cast upon me.
All right. Well, let's go on to number 2. Thinking money doesn't solve things. Money can't buy happiness is a boomer lie. It absolutely can. That's all there is to this one.
Here's one I see is that people who are like, you know, $10,000 would solve all my problems, or $100,000, or $1 million, or whatever the number is. And I have to agree with whomever says that money doesn't solve problems, in so much as if $1 million is going to solve your problems, then your problem isn't $1 million. Your problem is how you save money.
Well, you don't know.
Yeah. If you're in debt.
That's libertarian dogma.
Well, it may very well be, but it certainly works.
If you have a health issue that takes $1 million.
Well, hold on. I didn't talk about health issues. Yes, okay.
Not anything. You just throw it all out there.
Millennials aren't generally suffering from health problems.
If you're a boomer, you got health problems, and you could be in a situation where you need that kind of money. $1 million doesn't go as far as it used to.
It certainly doesn't.
Not like when the boomers were young. $1 million were young when the boomers were young. $1 million was a lot when the boomers were young.
Yeah, it was.
It's just barely enough to get you a new motorhome these days.
Indeed.
I will give you, though, that money can't buy happiness, but it seems like the person you're waiting behind at 7-Eleven to get their lottery tickets checked is a boomer.
I don't know about, lottery. I guess everything I've heard about the lottery is that it's a tax on poor people. is that basically that poor people disproportionately play the lottery. I don't play much. My dad used to play a lot. He just liked it. And he loved to talk about winning. Clearly, he couldn't have won. There's no way he couldn't have won more often than he lost. But nonetheless,
yeah,
he loved to talk about
you could. I mean, it's designed to pay out 50 to 60%, so you're going to lose more often than you win.
That's what I mean.
Oh, I thought you said that he couldn't. Never mind.
Oh, no. He absolutely, by the math, had to have lost more often than he won. If I said that wrong, my mistake.
Oh, okay.
But he loved to talk about winning.
I think the best way to approach the lottery that the state sanctions, as opposed to going and trying to play poker professionally or something like that, is you better go at it with that you're buying a fantasy. And for a couple hours until the numbers come up, you can have your fantasy that you're going to win that.
Right. Every once in a while, when I was sort of working out in the world, I'd hear about, the red ball is at, $10 million or whatever it was. You can see this is 20 years ago. But there were times when I'd buy a lottery ticket because you can't win if you don't play. And I'd just buy one. Okay, now I got it and I can check the numbers. And sometimes I'd check the numbers and sometimes I'd forget. So
ooh.
I've always been a bad lotto player.
Yes, that's a very bad lotto player.
Yeah.
But, the lotto you have the different, they've gone to where they have things that seldom pay off and they get to these real big numbers now, 300 million, yep. 500 million, a billion occasionally. Yep. Whereas when they first started the lotto in Florida, it was a one in, I think,
14 million.
2 million chance or one in 3 million chance.
Oh, really?
That was the one that they played every Saturday or maybe every Wednesday, Saturday. And that was too good of odds. Now the Powerball and the Mega Millions, that's one in 300 million.
Mm.
But more money gets spent on that one than the one that'll just pay you a few million if you win.
Yeah.
But they did that one more. But, we do
people
know.
People like the big prizes.
Yes. But the ones that are the five numbers, I've known, not best friends, of course after they win they have a lot of best friends, but the ones that are like five numbers that pay, the $150,000, I was definitely acquainted with people that won.
I've met a few. My dad won a Ford.
You were one of your coworkers or one of my employees, their family won one of those.
Awesome.
And this won't mean anything again to the people in Nova Scotia, but Basil's Chicken, that owner won.
Nice. Is that why he shut down?
No, that's why I think he got to expand into more stores. Okay. This was like in the 80s that he did that. And the next thing you know, he had another store open up. But I would say that, even if it's only five or six people that I know of locally that had won that, that's better than not knowing anybody that's ever won big prizes. And also they pay out, they pay that out, almost every day. So there's like 300 or 400 winners a day. I mean, not a day, a year. All right, that's enough about the lotto. Don't play the lotto. It's a fool's game and it's a sucker's game. So unless you're just going there to buy a fantasy, and there's probably better fantasies you can buy, but please, that's another show. Let's move on to number three, Mark. Oh my gosh, it's going to take another segment to get through all 15.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Getting mad at things like this. The boomer getting mad at the homeless person that has a smartphone phenomenon is a great insight into how a lot of older people forget that good technology has grown incredibly cheap and housing incredibly expensive.
Okay.
And I think that is a fair critique.
I think
so much as
one of the worst of them all. Well, you go ahead.
Which part of it? Which part don't you like?
I see plenty of younger people that get mad at poor people that have a smartphone, just because they have it, because they're out on the street with their cardboard sign. There's just a general contempt for poor people that I see.
I think that
younger people, especially ones that are like in their late 20s and early 30s, that know they're working hard and now they resent people that aren't, and they think, oh, they got it made there. Now, I admit that.
Well, I don't think they think they have it made. I think that they think that they're probably getting by, which for which they have a contempt, because it feels like if you're working hard that you're just barely getting by. You know that the week is about as long as the paycheck, and that's the sort of difficulty of it all. They have lower housing costs. They probably have more disposable income and these kind of things. And you know, you read these stories. I don't think that they're necessarily true for everybody, but I do think they make money there. Otherwise, they wouldn't be doing it. And that's ultimately
on the corner.
What's that? The panhandlers make money. Yeah.
I think that's sort of an organized enterprise, but there are a lot of homeless people out there with smartphones, and you see them on their bike, and they may be working, they may be doing whatever they are. The thing is that it's not that poor person with the smartphone that's living on the street that is the reason you're having a problem in your own life.
Indeed.
But
and that's just sort of, poor on poor violence, as it were. We all feel like, you know, it's the caterwauling hillbilly from last week, right? He doesn't want people eating ho-hos and ring-dings when he feels like he's just barely making it too. And that's the same phenomena there when you see the person on the side of the road. Now, I don't know when I see somebody who's not asking for money on the side of the road what their deal is. I don't know if they're homeless or they're just hanging out. I don't know. But when somebody's asking for money, I never give. Never, ever, ever. And the reason I don't give is because it's only going to incentivize that behavior.
Hold on. We got to go now. We're going to get the rest of your thought on the other side of these messages. You're listening to Reins and Edge on the Free Talk Live Network.
It's obvious. We're being let down by the institutions we used to trust. The mainstream media are distracting us with meaningless headlines instead of focusing on the real concerns of American families. Countries we're at odds with are hoarding food, financial systems are strained, and supply chains remain too fragile. We can tell something is coming, so we're preparing. Folks are getting into self-reliance and investing in emergency food storage. And My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, makes it easy for you to have peace of mind knowing you're prepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure some emergency food kits. There's a dozen to choose from that contain tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. And while you're there, stock up on water filtration, heirloom seeds, and emergency gear, too, at MyPatriotSupply.com. It's time to prepare today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay Heating Pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay Heating Pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay Heating Pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.